Thank you, Stu Eisenstadt, for that introduction, for your leadership in the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. You're a true scholar and statesman, and a dear friend. Speaker Johnson, Leader Jeffries, members of Congress, and especially the survivors of the Holocaust. My mother here, she'd look at you and say, God love you all. God love you all. Abe Foxman and all other survivors who embody absolute courage and dignity and grace are here as well. During these sacred days of remembrance, we grieve, we give voice to the 6 million Jews who were systematically targeted and murdered by the Nazis and their collaborators during World War II. We honor the memory of victims, the pain of survivors, the bravery of heroes who stood up to Hitler's unspeakable evil, and we recommit to heeding and heeding the lessons that one of the darkest chapters in human history to revitalize and realize the responsibility of never again. Never again, simply translated for me, means never forget. Never forget. Never forgetting means we must keep telling the story, we must keep teaching the truth, we must keep teaching our children and our grandchildren. And the truth is, we're at risk of people not knowing the truth. That's why, growing up, my dad taught me and my siblings about the horrors of the Shoah at our family dinner table. That's why I visited Yad Vashem with my family as a senator, as vice president, and as president. And that's why I took my grandchildren to Dachau so they could see and bear witness to the perils of indifference, the complicity of silence in the face of evil that they knew was happening. Germany, 1933. Hitler and his Nazi party rise to power by rekindling one of the world's oldest forms of prejudice and hate, anti-Semitism. His rule didn't begin with mass murder. It started slowly across economic, political, social, cultural life. Propaganda demonizing Jews. Boycott.
So this is Biden speaking at a Holocaust remembrance event. That was a very weird little statement that he just said. And never again, I mean, translated for me, you know, because what does that mean? It's just a weird, it's a weird address. And it is a weird timing to give this speech when all of his voters are going crazy on college campuses. And he's trying so hard to keep Dearbornistan happy. It's a sticky wicket for Biden. Welcome to the program. Top of this very first hour with you, Dana Loesch. And you can listen coast to coast to the radio program. You can stream it. You can also catch the simulcast on every video streaming service possible. I'm not going to run down the list. They're all over. Name it, we're on it. But this event that he's speaking at, it's just a weird comparison to the timing, especially since yesterday there was this remarks from John Kirby as it related to the Rafah offensive by Israel, because bombing began. There were some rockets that began, bombs that began targeting Hamas battalions in Rafah, because Hamas is hanging out with regular everyday people in Rafah. And so Israel's trying to root out the terrorists. This comes also after another refusal to release really all of the hostages. I don't know if you were familiar or if you were paying attention to a lot of the details from that insane, compromise? Was it a compromise? It was the deal that Hamas negotiated with itself. And so they negotiated a ceasefire deal. They didn't actually negotiate with Israel. They just like had Egypt and Qatar do it, and they agreed to it without actually bringing Israel along. And part of it in the ceasefire, they said that during the first phase, they would release 33 Israeli detainees, is what they call them, 33 hostages. But this is what they said: alive or corpses. That was the terminology. They would 33 alive or corpses? Because this kind of goes into what I've been saying. I think most of them are dead. I think very few of them are alive, sadly, particularly the children. This is the New York Times said that the terror group had explicitly told mediators that it would only release 33 hostages in exchange for like a couple of hundred terrorists who were arrested trying to kill people in Israel. That's why they are in custody still. So they wanted their terrorists to be released, and they wanted 33 of, they would release 33 of these hostages. They didn't say how many would be alive. They just said alive or corpses, 33 of them. And they didn't tell the mediators, either Egypt or Qatar, how many of those 33 would actually be alive. So this is not a negotiation. That means that Hamas doesn't have anything with which to negotiate in the first place. I mean, this is, and nobody in their right mind would accept a deal like this. Nobody. And so remember, they started with 40. They started with 40 hostages in the very beginning. This was like a month and a half, almost 2 months ago, when they started negotiating this. There were 40 hostages that they wanted. Israel wanted 40 hostages. They wanted them alive. They wanted them released. And the U.S., because the U.S. consistently, this administration shoots itself in the foot constantly, the administration got involved and they began pressuring Israel. So they got Israel to back down from 40 hostages released to 33 hostages released. And then now it's like 33 hostages released. Meh, maybe they're alive, maybe they're not. So they don't want to make a deal for living hostages. They want to make a deal for some hostages. Some of them might be dead. All of them may be dead. And it doesn't matter. They want the full acknowledgement of it. And they want that to count as the deal. And Egypt, according to the Times of Israel, the Egyptians, well, there was the deputy to Hamas's Gazan leader. And Egypt was acting as a guarantee. They were going to guarantee the deal. And they were not going to allow the war to return. So what? What? And the New York Times, in reporting on this, said that apparently the Biden administration agreed to act also as a guarantor of this quote-unquote permanent. I guess it's a permanent deal. But it just only affects Israel, that Israel would not resume hostilities. There's nothing in it about Hamas continuing hostilities. So there's no guarantee, and no one's going to guarantee, that Hamas wouldn't continue hostilities. It only names Israel. So that's the second part of this deal that's absolute trash. And then what happens to, you know, who's going to be in control of Gaza? That's the other thing. This wasn't a deal. This was absolute trash. And there is not any deal that should end in Hamas remaining in control in Gaza. Because this is not a deal for peace. This is a deal to satisfy Hamas and to guarantee endless war. That's exactly what it is. So this is a ridiculous deal. And when you hear more about some of the story to this too, the agreement on this, right as Israel was beginning to make moves with Rafah. So of course, this was a desperate ploy by Hamas, because Israel is kicking off in Rafah. Apparently, so this was, there was one per town hall. Biden dispatched CIA Director William Burns to hash out a last minute attempt. They were going to try to get this ceasefire done, but they said the way that it was handled was an absolute circus. And Axios had a huge story on this, where they had said that three Israeli officials, the headline of this was Israelis frustrated with U.S. handling of hostage talks. And it apparently is like a total ridiculous Victorian freak show. They said that apparently there was not clear communication with the group, with the mediators, and they, no one was even informed of what was happening until an hour after Hamas released their statement. And they included all of these other elements that had never been discussed. And apparently the CIA knew about all of this being proposed, but they just didn't bother informing Israel of it. So they knew that there were all of these new proposals that were new things that were being added into this agreement, and they just didn't bother telling Israel about it. And two Israeli officials said that the general feeling is that, quote, Israel got played by the United States and mediators who drafted a new deal with Egypt and Qatar and Hamas and didn't even cut Israel in on the new deal that they expected Israel to abide by, that wasn't even going to give Israel living hostages in return, and was only going to tell Israel to not resume or resume any hostilities, but Hamas was free to do so. This is an absolute train wreck. This is Joe Biden in action. This is Joe Biden's foreign policy in action. This desiccated old man was added onto the Obama ticket because he was supposed to bring some gravitas, some foreign policy experience as the elder statesman to the ticket. Well, he didn't have any elder statesmanship, and he sure as hell didn't have any foreign policy experience. Being in office for an inordinate amount of time and outliving everyone else does not count as foreign policy experience. This is just typical Biden. Just like what you saw in Afghanistan is just like you saw with the negotiations with us. We're going to talk more about it as we roll throughout the program. Also on deck today, as it relates to Democrats. So we're going to play this audio. Well, actually, you know what? Should we go ahead and play it now? Go ahead and give me that Kathy Hochul audio, because this is one of the craziest things. This is the governor of New York, the Democrat governor of New York. Audio soundbite 18. This is what she said about black students and computers yesterday. Listen.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
So she thinks that black students don't know what computers are? Did I hear that correctly?
You did.
I want to contrast something. You guys know the video. There was many memes that spawned from it. The video of the frat at Ole Miss, right? There was the video of the frat at Ole Miss, and they were standing off against the pro-Hamas protesters. And there was like a dude, I saw photos of it. I didn't actually see videos of the protest. I just like the guys with the stars and stripes overall. There was like one dude in the frat that apparently made monkey noises at one of the pro-Hamas protesters who happened to be black. And everyone was talking about how racist this student was. And there was a hunt for him and they identified him. And a lot of people were like, the frat's going to take care of that. So just slow your roll. Well, the frat did take care of it. Apparently, they bounced the guy from the fraternity. And now he's, I think, in like administrative trouble with the university. But that happens. And then there's that response and accountability. Kathy Hochul gets on a microphone and says, black kids are too stupid to know what a computer is, and nothing. Compare and contrast. We have a lot more on the way as we roll towards headlines. We also have some culture. A female dart star quits the tournament because she's not going to play against a man. We've got that for you. And Gnome never stops. Oh, my gosh. Gold Co. Precious metals. If you have not diversified your savings, if you have not added precious metals as a part of your overall retirement and savings strategy, you need to. And Gold Co. can make it easy. You can diversify, protect your savings with precious metals like gold and silver. Gold Co. is there to help. They get it. It's a volatile economy. They want to make sure that you are as informed as possible when making these choices. They have a free 2024 wealth protection kit. You can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program. It's while supplies last. And they want to arm you with every bit of information that you can get about how to protect yourself in the face of inflation, national debt, all of it. Thousands of five-star reviews. They got a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And their unique education-first approach is, well, like I said, it's unique. Nobody else really does this. They have this one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It explains how the economy and gold IRAs work. They make it easy for you to gain this benefit. No pressure approach. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com and get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let what you've built up over decades simply vanish. Fraud schemes have cost the elderly $3 billion. And what's worse, some Americans are just too embarrassed to report it when it's happened to them, meaning that number could be much higher.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Apparently there's more woes for Boeing, because it's looking like some of the employees may have falsified maintenance records. Yee. So they have, you have a bunch of dead whistleblowers, 10 more whistleblowers stepping up, fuselages, all kinds of falling out of the sky, wing attachments. Now, apparently, according to the FAA, there was an investigation that revealed employees that looks like they may have fudged some of the maintenance records to hide shortcuts that they took. The Seattle Times first reported that they opened up a new investigation into Boeing 787 wing-to-body joint work, and the FAA wants to know how many workers were falsifying records. Oh, my gosh. How many planes? Now I need to know if I'm flying, like, am I on a Boeing? Am I on that? What? No. Oh. Let's see. This is the craziest story, and this is one of the most horrific headlines. I'm so sorry. It's right up at the top, first hour, but here it is. This was in India. A mother threw her disabled six-year-old son into a crocodile-infested river where he was mauled to death after the father ordered her to throw the child away. She's 26. The dad's 27. He apparently blamed her for the boy being born with a disability, and they fought about the child. A neighbor saw her throw her son into a waste canal that flows into the Kali River, which is infested with crocodiles. Neighbors called the police. They immediately brought out divers, but it was dark. And then they found his body the next day. His hand was bitten off. He had bite marks all over. They're like, he was completely mauled by gators. This is horrible. Just awful. Wood chipper for those parents. Wood chipper. That's why wood chippers were invented. I mean, you know, also for wood, but those people too. A study suggests that genetics is a cause, not just a risk for some Alzheimer's. Kane said, go ahead, say it. You're so mad.
It's the freaking statins. And then the whole stupid fat is bad for you. That's what it is.
Fat is good. Ladies, look, don't be worrying about fat when
your brain is made up
age.
Of like nothing but cholesterol.
It's nature's filler. Okay. Fat is nature's filler. So my grandma always said, when you turn 50, you got to pick face or body. That's ladies. I'm just saying. And this Twitch streamers are now becoming the go-to news source for campus protest coverage. It's not surprising. Stick with us. We got a whole bunch more on the way after this. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Looking for the drive-thru version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
And I understand that they're attacking me for it, Jesse.
Yeah, they are. So they're also attacking you. I guess you said you met Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet him?
I've been to the DMZ. I've been to North Korea. You know, people, I don't talk about my conversations with world leaders. And so when I looked at the book and I saw that excerpt, I decided to make the change to the content of the book, and that's been done.
So you didn't have a conversation with Kim when you were at the DMZ?
I don't have conversations about my conversations with world leaders. I've been working on policy for 30 years,
okay.
Jesse,
really?
And that's what most people don't remember about me is
her own bio said
I'm old.
20, but
okay. I'm a mom, I'm a grandma, I've got three little grandbabies.
You're not that old. So maybe you did have a conversation with Kim, but you don't want to talk
about it. I will not talk about my personal conversations.
Well, then why did you put it in a book? And then why did you read it for your audio book? And then why did you agree to excerpt that portion of your book for promotional materials to promote the book that you included it in and then you read the audiobook for? I mean, did you not think that people would look at that and go, huh, she's coming on the show to talk about books. Maybe we should ask her about this portion in her book. So it's everybody else's fault because they read what you put in your book? And then they heard what you read. You read it for the audiobook. She read her audiobook for this book. She didn't, while she was reading this, she didn't go, wait a minute now. That didn't happen. She just read it. And then now she's like, wait a minute. These people are asking me hard questions. Maybe it didn't happen. Imagine that. Golly, this is so bad. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Obviously, that was South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who will not stop doing interviews. Oh, my gosh. Does she wants to be in the gravel pit. She wants to be in the gravel pit. That's where she is. She will not stop. She was on, and Jesse Waters, Jesse is not a confrontational dude to his own side. And I could, you could see it on his face. Like, he was greatly amused by this. Well, I'm not going to have conversations, Jesse, with world leaders. I'm not going to have conversations that I put in my book and talked about and then read the audiobook for and then excerpted it for promotional materials. I'm not going to talk about the things that I put in my book. I don't want anybody who just so unawares commits this many unforced errors in the White House or in the VP office. I don't know. It just doesn't stop. There's a piece that went out on Substack last night about this because she did two interviews on Sunday. Then she had two interviews yesterday. And then she finished her night on with Jesse Waters about this. And it just does not. And apparently her team, by the way, she tried putting the dog story. And we're not even talking about the dog story anymore. Now we're talking about making up things with world leaders to try to make yourself look tough. And that's what this book was. This book, she, what did she call it? No Way Back or something like that. What is it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think she probably wanted to title it, you know, Pick Me, I'm a Hard Ass. And she, because that's what it sounds like. This book is just like a bunch of stories designed to make her look like tough and decisive, right? So apparently 2 years ago, she's got two autobiographies out. I don't understand. She's had two autobiographies out like in the span of like 6 years.
You need two?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Are they different from each other?
I don't know. She's had two books out about herself. She put out two. Dude, I don't know. Everybody's a brand and everyone's a product. Sometimes you got to sell yourself twice. I don't know. But she apparently wanted to include that in the last book she did, her memoir. And she wanted it because she thought it showed her as, you know, she's decisive and she's tough and, you know, all of this. And they had a ghostwriter. She was with Hachette. They had an imprint. Hachette was with what Hands Off My Gun came out with, Hachette Center Street. And apparently they thought it was just a dumb, bad taste thing. And they thought it would actually do more damage to her than help her. So they said, no, you got to cut this thing. Cut it out. But she was bound and determined to have it in. Yeah, her first book was Not My First Rodeo, Lessons from the Heartland. That was her first autobiography. So literally from 2022, she had an autobiography. And now she has another autobiography out. Every 2 years, she comes out with an autobiography. I mean, I think Mark Twain got one. And so they told her, you can't put that in this book. That's ridiculous. And it doesn't make you look tough. It makes you look kind of goofy. And there are a lot of ranch people and farm. My husband grew up on a farm that dealt with similar issues, but didn't deal with them like that. And there are ways to tell stories to make yourself look decisive without looking like it's contrived and tried too hard. So they thought it was in bad taste. And they made her cut it. She was hell bent on including that in one of these stories. She wanted to show people she was tough, rooting and tooting and all this. I don't know. So she put it in this book. Apparently, there were no gatekeepers for this book. Oh, yeah, it's No Going Back. That's her. Jeez. So I don't know. And it was Dakota Scout, a local paper that first reported the North Korea thing didn't happen. And yeah, so this, she needs to maybe stop doing press. She needs to stop doing press because it's not good. Audio Soundbite 11. this, was this still with Waters? This is the other part of the Waters interview? Yeah, go ahead, play. This is 11. Listen to this.
Okay, but you didn't answer my question. When you record, you posted pictures and video of yourself recording the audiobook.
Oh, this is News Nation.
When you
this
recorded your own audiobook, you didn't notice
I'm not
going to
discuss about my meetings with world leaders.
Oh, my gosh, you put it in the book again.
Recording the audiobook.
Did you want to talk about something else today?
No, I just wanted to know. I mean, we're just trying to get a straight answer from it. This has been...
Well, you did. I mean, and I took responsibility for it. The buck stops with me. This anecdote, I should not have put in the book. And I asked to have it taken out, and it is.
Okay, so then it gets into audio soundbite 10. Again, she read the audiobook. I read the audiobook for my first book. Or second one. You really get to go over, because they stop you every, like, you know, they want you to enunciate a certain way or hit this emphasis. I mean, you're directed with it, so you become doubly familiar. And she had a ghostwriter, so that was probably maybe the first time she read her book, was when she did the audiobook. But it's at that point, wouldn't you have caught it? When you're talking about how you stare down Kim Jong-un. Well, that's what Elizabeth Vargas, of whom I'm not a fan, but, you know, audio soundbite 10, she asked her that. Listen.
You said you, when you learned of it, you immediately took action. Mm-hmm. You recorded the whole book and the audiobook. Mm-hmm. You read this whole passage out loud. Why didn't you take it out then when you read the audiobook?
You know, I've traveled for years. I've been involved in policy for almost 30 years. And so I've gone all across the world. I've met with world leaders.
So you didn't realize when you recorded the audiobook?
When it was brought to my attention, and it was, I asked the publisher if they would remove
the name.
Okay, that
doesn't answer the question. That's like a Joe Biden level answer. She's like, this is some Joe Biden stuff. This is like what Joe Biden would do. Okay, why did you read it in the book? Well, I've traveled all over the world. Here's my canned answer. I'm not going to depart from my canned answer. I've traveled all over the world and policy and that stuff. Shrimp and grits. Jiminy. Can we just say this one's done? Just, she should have been happy staying as governor instead of trying to be a real housewife of D.C. Just, you know, bloom where you're planted. Because sometimes you just, this is not the way to do it. Not the way to do it. So a few other things, some GOP drama. So, you know, the whole Mike Johnson versus Marjorie Taylor Greene, there was a report out from Politico that Trump was trying to mediate between the two. There are a lot of people trying to get some of these other House conservatives to stand down from the motion to vacate. Now, it wasn't confirmed. I think it was Ryan Zink out of Montana who said that that he had heard that Trump was trying to engage and trying to mediate. I don't know. That's the only person I've heard anything like this from. But hasn't really said verbatim that they should knock this off and stand down, but he's kind of intimated as such. I don't know. I don't think that's a focus for him right now. But this stuff in the House, you can't be having all this stuff, y'all. You cannot be doing all this. Just stop it. Move along, because it's going to wrap up the House and the tiny little majority that we have into such chaos. Such chaos. So this is audio soundbite 22. Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, said that he met with both Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is what he had to say about it.
Let me address it. So yesterday I met at some length with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie. It was a good discussion. I thought it was productive. We'll visit again today. It's not a negotiation, okay? This is how I've operated as Speaker. I committed to do it before I became Speaker, and we've been doing this for the last 6 months. I addressed, reminded this, my conference of this just within the last hour. Everybody knows I have lengthy discussions, detailed discussions on a daily basis with members across the conference. There are 217 of us. It takes a lot of time. This is why I don't get enough sleep these days. But what it's required when you have the smallest majority in history is that you have to quite literally get everyone to work together. When you can only lose one vote on a party preference or priority, it takes a lot of time to build consensus. And so what I do every day, Scott, is almost on an hourly basis, is I hear suggestions and ideas and thoughts from members. My door has been open from day one. Everybody knows that. I mean, I spend endless hours at this.
Okay, that's great. He also spends endless hours giving simple answers to questions. Good gosh.
True.
It's insane. So coming up, as we go into, we got Days of These United States, but the campus trash babies got a huge boost in support. Do you remember Macklemore? that annoying dude who was a one-hit wonder, or maybe a two-hit wonder, and that was it. And then he started getting really political. He's the guy who dressed up in an anti-Semitic costume with a fake Jewish nose and all of this stuff for one of his shows. Do you guys remember this? Well, now he's coming out supporting Hamas on college campuses. And he's out with a new track just to exploit division so he can make money off of it. Isn't he like 4 feet tall? He's yeetable. Like, I'm pretty sure you could yeet him. I see dudes like this and I'm like, you're all yeet. That's it. I just, good heavens. So we'll touch on some of this. We also, not only we got trash baby stuff, we have media. So you have a propaganda outlet, a government-funded propaganda outlet that won the Pulitzer Prize for Supreme Court coverage. We're going to touch on that. We also have some culture. We've got the latest with Israel, Gaza, trash babies, Democrats, all kinds of stuff you don't want to miss. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at ReadyWise, they want to make sure that you are prepared with no matter what happens. And they have all kinds of made right in the USA, everything grown, made, harvested right here in the United States, high quality, delicious, premium survival food. Packed at their state-of-the-art plant. So you're supporting American jobs from start to finish. And you're never going to have to question where if you're going to be able to feed your family if something goes sideways, if there's a natural disaster, sudden storms, power outages, or maybe you just want to go on a hiking adventure or hunting trip, whatever it is, supply chain disruption, whatever. You have peace of mind knowing you're going to have nutritious meals on hand. They have an emergency one-month supply, two-bucket bundle that includes 36 pouches of premium survival food, all kinds of entrees, breakfast, drinks, all food made with high-quality U.S. ingredients, 2,000-plus calories, 50-plus grams of protein per day, and no refrigeration required. Easy to prepare, just add water with a 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now, so visit ReadyWise.com. Use code Dana20, and you'll save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The argument that I make with the people that say, well, I always like Boy Scouts of America or BSA, why do we have to change? Because, you know, membership is at historic lows, right?
Yeah, because you do stuff like this.
Part of my job is to reduce all the barriers I possibly can for people to accept us as an organization and to join.
So this is via our friend Vegas Larry. This is the Boy Scouts of America has announced they're changing their name to Scouting America so that it can be made more inclusive. And then people can be who they are. Wait, that's if you're being something other than what you are, you're not being who you are. That should be obvious. Why do they, you know, there are the Girl Scouts.
But also, as a kid doing Boy Scouts, I didn't go there just to be who I am. I went there to actually become a better person, not be who I am.
We left the Scouts because stuff like this was starting to happen. Our kids were in Scouts and it started getting weird. We're like, we're out. Before our kids notice anything, we're out. It was a bummer because so many dudes that I grew up with were in Scouts. And then now you've got, you know, these social activists that get involved. We need to make it more inclusive. Well, what do you mean? We're not girls involved. Girls got Girl Scouts. You know what? It's okay for dudes to have a place that's just for dudes. I'm a woman. We can be infuriating as hell. Sometimes men need to get the hell away from us. And you know what? Women feel the same thing. We love you men, but sometimes y'all are as infuriating as all hell. And sometimes we ladies need to get away from you. That is a healthy society where sometimes men and women can go back to pretending like it's a junior high school mixer and we can all just go back to our respective all lady and all gentleman groups. It's healthy. You need to be able to have that fellowship. You need to be able to have that sisterhood. It's not being exclusive, especially when you have Girl Scouts. It's not about mingling with the opposite sex. It's about learning skill sets that you can apply throughout life. But that's what these people are missing. They don't look at it like that. It's a social experiment. Everything is a mountain upon which a flag must be impaled. Everything needs to be conquered. If you are a chick and you want to be in Scouts, join the Girl Scouts. If you want to join the Boy Scouts, grow a schlong and become a dude. Like for real, not like cosplay. Otherwise, go to Girl Scouts. I don't know. I guess the dudes are getting back at the women because they're taking over the bathrooms and sports. You know? Can I tell you, a little sliver of me looks at stuff like this, like, you know, scout leaders. Now they're going to just call it Scouting for America because, you know, they make it for Girl Scouts. And I'm just like, yeah, well, you bitches deserve to have your sports taken over. Look what you did to scouts. Part of me thinks that. Not going to lie. It's like you opened that Pandora's box. How did you think this was going to go? You know what I mean? And then you got the clueless matriarchy out there that acts like it's doing something cool when really it's beclowning itself. Goodness. I don't know. So that's the latest with Scouts. To be more inclusive. Again, it's like somebody tell that old weird geezer that Girl Scouts is a thing, that it exists. Good heavens. Now, coming up along the way, we got a number of things still. We got a lot, actually. I don't even think we got everything in this hour. The latest with Israel, Gaza, Rafah, trash babies, the ceasefire deal that was an absolute disaster. Also, we've got a female dart star who's like, I ain't playing against no dude. And so she quit. Good for her. We have that for you. Macklemore wants to support the... What? I know. Like, who? Since 2012. Where was he at? We've got that. We got media. We got GOP stuff. We're also going to talk about some of the wokery within our own government. We got Jim Jordan, who's going to be on top of our third hour coming up, so you don't want to miss. We have a lot to get into. And of course, we got Florida Man, and we got Today in Stupidity, and then we're keeping track with all of, because Joe Biden spoke this morning, and well, it went as about as well as you think it would go. Got a lot more on the way coming up. Second hour, stay with us. Black Rifle Coffee. I had two cups. I don't even know what it was. I just said, give me whatever strong. And I saw dark roast on the bag. It was a new bag that was open. And I feel like I could probably like Hulk out right now. That's all I know. I needed to wake up this morning. It was like the weather's changing. I was sleepy. You know how it is. Black Rifle Coffee is the best coffee that you can get in America. It is so good. And a lot of people, a lot of big coffee out there, they're very uncomfortable by the presence of Black Rifle Coffee because they're mainstreaming everything that we love about the USA. And I mean, it's literally called Black Rifle. So, you know, I love it. Veteran owned, veteran operated. They hire retired and active duty, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They get the best beans. Every bag's roasted right here in the US of A. You got ground, you got whole bean, you got K-cups, you got ready to drink. And you can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, and so much more. Now, you can join the Black Rifle Coffee Club. I sincerely hope you do this. This is the best way to get it. You're going to save more than the bougiest brand. You're going to save more getting coffee with Black Rifle Coffee Club than you would buying it at the store, buying any coffee at the store, because you pick your roast, frequency of shipment, they send it to your doorstep for free. It's awesome. And you can try it for yourself today. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Make your order of coffee today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off, code Dana, BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Thank you, Karine. Congressman Ro Khanna said that the president should and will be out visiting these campuses among the protests, amid the protests. Is there any plan for him to get out there and talk to students right now? Okay. And then separately...
No, there's no plans for Biden to get out and talk about that. There's no plans at all whatsoever for Biden to say anything. We don't plan to have him out in public at all talking, interacting with people. He gave his remarks today. Now he's going to go back into the pod. Welcome. I don't know. I mean, it might as well be. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this second hour, ladies and gents. Coming up in our third hour, Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio will join us. But this is, you know, Biden's not going to say anything to the college campus kids. As the trash babies are winding up their academic year, because a lot of colleges are finishing up this year or this week and next week, and a lot are moving back. I have a kid who's moving back home this week, and they're finishing up. I don't know where they're going to take their nonsense now. Who knows? But we'll see. They can't keep it up on college campuses, though, once classes are out, because everyone's going to go home. They're not going to stay there. They're not going to want to stay there. Those pup tents are going to come down. So where are they going to go? Are they going to try to have like another summer of like burn, loot, murder? Try to recreate that? This comes on the heels of this absolute disastrous compromise at the hands of the Biden administration. Yesterday, we told you that they're I think this was in our second hour yesterday, how Hamas was all, hey, we negotiated a deal with ourselves. I mean, through Egypt and Qatar, we negotiated a deal. The Egyptians and the Qataris apparently had finalized some sort of proposal that Hamas was all in with, and it allowed for the details of this as they emerged were pretty stunning. And by the way, the details caught Israel off guard because Israel was not included in part of the negotiations at all whatsoever. So this was the other thing that came out. And the Biden administration is trying to do damage control now because apparently they were involved in it and they didn't tell Israel a single thing about it. They apparently didn't know. They were unaware. They were totally caught off guard. That's kind of bad. A lot of the details, including the 33 hostages. So they had said that, if you give us a couple of hundred terrorists that you have in custody, we will give to you 33 hostages, you know, dead or alive. It's a little, they actually included that, alive or corpses. Now, if you remember about a month and a half, 2 months ago, the original number was 40. Israel wanted 40 hostages. They wanted 40 hostages returned alive. I kind of get the sense that Hamas doesn't have 40 alive hostages. I don't even think they have 33, thus why they said alive or corpses. And so that's not any kind of a deal. I mean, they have no leverage. Do they kill their leverage? It seems like they killed their leverage. And also, if that wasn't, that's a bad part of this compromise. Because the United States persuaded Israel to reduce their 40 hostage requests to 33. And then they had offered that and Hamas rejected it. Hamas has rejected every single offer. This was the first offer that Hamas accepted, and it was because Israel was entirely left out, of the negotiations. But here's the other part of it. The report, and this was from the New York Times, that apparently, actually there's three things still. Hamas is still in charge of Gaza. That's in this compromise. Hamas still retains control of Gaza. And there is language that Egypt is going to be the guarantor. They're going to guarantee the stopping of military operations, a permanent cessation of military and hostile operations for Israel. But there's nothing in here about Egypt. Or not Egypt, sorry, Egypt, Hamas. Egypt is guaranteeing that part of the deal. They will not allow Israel to resume any kind of military operations, but there's nothing in here for Hamas. And apparently the Biden administration had also agreed to act with Egypt as the guarantor of all of this. Now, that's what Hamas claims. So take that for what it's worth. But that's something that I can definitely see this administration doing. Because this administration, so far, they've already bungled it up by pressuring Israel to reduce the number of hostages that they were requesting. That's crazy. So that's what I think. This is just a disaster. It's a disaster for the Biden administration as well. Town Hall had a piece that discussed how Biden had sent CIA Director William Burns to do some last minute negotiations to get this ceasefire done. But they said that the way that it was handled was an absolute circus. Axios had more on this too. Axios wrote that the Israeli officials apparently were just totally left out of all discussions. That they said that they apparently did not include Israel in it at all. And that by the time Israeli officials even learned about this proposal, it had already been announced publicly. Senior Israeli officials said via Axios that when the Hamas delegation was in Cairo over the weekend, that the Egyptians and Qataris were all negotiating with them and Israel was totally left out. They were not there. Wow. And apparently, and then you had Bill Burns and other Biden administration officials who knew, and they didn't tell Israel. Monday morning, Burns spoke with the Israeli Minister of Defense. And they said that still the Israeli minister was unaware of everything because they were shocked when Hamas released their statement. And that the Monday morning finalization, when they were finalizing this proposal, the Biden administration was involved in Doha. But again, the other party in this was not notified at all. I mean, you had the United States, you had Qatar, you had Egypt, all serving and vouching for the process, the negotiation process. And they guarantee that military operations on Israel's side would end, but they gave no guarantees, and none of them are acting as a guarantor of such for Hamas to stop their hostilities. So how is this an agreement that is in any way acceptable? I mean, that's rhetorical. It's not. That's a mess. That is an absolute bungled mess. That is your big, that is the ally of the United, the one ally of the United States in that part of the world. And the administration essentially goes and stabs them in the back, because that's exactly, I mean, how else do you interpret this? You go and you're negotiating with Egypt and Qatar, where you have Hamas leaders living. They don't want to live in the hellscape that they turned Gaza into. So they live the good life in Qatar. And the Biden administration goes over, negotiates, and just completely behind the back of our ally. And then the ally doesn't even know the details of the proposal until Hamas publicly announces it. And is all, we accepted the agreement. We did it. They wanted to use that as a pressure point, and the Biden administration helped them. The Biden administration aided a terrorist group with this. And then they actually think that this is a good deal. Yeah, we'll give you some dead hostages. Now, I mean, yeah, we'll have a compromise ceasefire. We'll return some hostages to you. They won't be alive, but we'll give you some hostages. Sure. Would you agree to that? No. You wouldn't. Nobody would in their right mind. Now, as all the trash babies go home, right on time, Macklemore comes out. Who? That one dude. What does he do lately? I don't even know what the hell he does. He had one song, two songs. The first song was, I guess, okay. I don't know. I never got into him. Macklemore, I can't stand him. He's like a yeetable little smartass. I just don't like him, right? He's like one of those dudes who's all bark, but he's like 3'9". I don't know. Right, Kane?
He is tiny.
He's like his height is that of a human femur. Anyway, why do I bring this up? Because he apparently is out. Oh, he came out with a new song just in time as everybody's going home. Great timing there. Good timing, Cotton. But he came out with a song, something. I'm not playing it. I'm not talking about a song. But his lyrics, it's called Heinz Hall. It's named after a building at Columbia University. And it's named after a 6-year-old Gaza girl that was killed probably by Hamas. And he says, quote, here's his lyrics. If students in tents posted on the lawn, occupying the quad is really against the law and a reason to call in the police and their squad, where does genocide land in your definition, huh? What? I think you need a dictionary, sport. And then he says that the blood is on the hands of the administration, et cetera, et cetera. And then he talks about an apartheid system, showing that he has no idea what the hell apartheid is or means. And remember, Macklemore was a guy who went out. Hang on. He got in a lot of trouble because he went out in costume. He wore what he said was a fake witch's nose. He dressed up as what he said was what apparently was, he had apologized for it. He dressed up as a Jewish guy while giving a speech on freeing quote unquote Palestine at a concert. And it is, if you've ever seen it, it's really bad looking. And he got into a lot of trouble. And he had to apologize because people said that it was anti-Semitic, which it was. And he denied it and was like, no, I was in Seattle and I played a show and I thought I would dress up in disguise and et cetera. And he knew what he was doing. Come on. Kane, you saw that out. You saw that get up.
There is no doubt in my mind what he was doing. I guess one can't put the actual pictures up.
It's so bad. He put on a fake prosthetic nose. Remember how mad they got over Bradley Cooper being Leonard Bernstein in a documentary about Leonard Bernstein. And the left really didn't know what to do with Macklemore. So they just, there was some pushback, but he had to apologize. Yeah, he wore a dark wig, a fake beard, and a huge prosthetic nose for a performance.
And like you said, he tried to call it a witch's nose.
Yeah, he tried to call it a witch's nose.
And there's the picture right there.
It was, how do you look at that and not think that he's not trying to be anti-Semitic? Exactly. Especially in the context of what he was talking about. He's an anti-Semite, and he's a moron too. He's just one of the dumbest people to ever exist. I don't like him. I don't like his music. He's like 5 foot tall. He's yeetable. I'm not a fan of this dude. And then, before all the kids go home, hurry up. Let me write another crappy song and make money off it. Cha-ching. I'm going to make money off protests. And he's smug. And I'm like, you got to have something to be smug about. And you don't. I don't know. So just right in time. I'm sure his song's going to be a real banger, Kane. Gag. The only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And Patriot Mobile wants to save you some money. And they're not going to make your money work against you either. They're not going to use your money to fund the things that they can't stand or that you vote against every time you're at the ballot box. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service provider. They have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the left. And when you switch, you can keep your phone, you can keep your number, you can upgrade. The choice is yours. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch. And you can get free activation using code Dana. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently Panera, they're phasing out, I never had this over there, but they have what they call charged lemonade. How much caffeine's in this thing? Well, they did it because apparently people are dying. There was a three lawsuits. There's a 28-year-old woman who said that the beverage left her with, quote, permanent cardiac injuries. Wait, Kane. Are we sure it wasn't the vax?
It can't possibly be the vaccine.
Just saying. The second lawsuit was filed in December by a Florida man who died. He died after drinking the charged lemonade. He has a chromosomal deficiency disorder, developmental delay. The first one was a 21-year-old University of Penn student who had a heart condition who drank charged lemonade and it killed her, they said. And they said that healthy adults, according to the FDA, can generally safely consume 400 milligrams of caffeine per day. Yeah, so these apparently have like just around 400 milligrams of caffeine per day in a 30 ounce. Wow. That's a lot. So maybe don't. Just saying. I need to go because I did my 12 o'clock headlines for this one, I think. So apparently they say more women are working now than at any time in U.S. history. And feminist fourth wave, fifth wave, 11th wave, I don't know. They're acting like this is a good thing. No, the reason more women are working now than ever is because the economy is so bad. You have to have everybody work. I mean, women fought really hard for a number of years to be able to stay at home and raise their family, and that shouldn't be treated as a luxury. But what third and fourth wave feminism has done is it's not only treated it as a luxury, but it treats women who have the ability and who choose to do so, even though they have to sacrifice quite a lot to raise their children, they treat them as second class citizens. Men don't, women do. So, you know, you get what you vote for. The households are wincing at the price of going green because, talk about another luxury, this is just idolatry of the wealthy, idolism of the wealthy. They said that when, this is a horrible piece. Basically, it's expensive and it's like three times more expensive than what people are anticipating it being. And they didn't properly save to go green and they're not able to fully go green. And then they're staying with coal and gas. Let's see. The rising number of men who don't want to work. It says because the incoming generation workforce, they've been coddled and they expect the world to coddle them. They're saying that people don't want to work anymore. I do think that there's something to that. I do think. They said 89% of working age men, BLS, they're trying to find a job, actively looking at it for a job. Stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still think that you are in line to be Trump's vice president?
No, it's up to Donald Trump. He's the only person who will decide this.
Yeah,
he's the only person who will decide. And I spoke. Yes, I do speak to him.
May I ask what he said to you about being vice president?
No, I never tell anybody my personal conversations.
Did the dog story come up in
your
conversation with Trump?
I talk to President Trump all the time.
About the dog?
About a lot of things. And right now, I tell you what, he is being persecuted in a political hunt. Witch hunt in this court case. So I'm proud of him about how tough he is and how well he is doing.
Did you bring up
yes,
the dog?
Yes, enough, Stuart.
With Trump. Did you
this
bring
interview
up the
is ridiculous,
Trump?
What you were doing right now. So you need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is.
We'll
Let's
stop.
Talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Oh, well, of course we are.
We do thank you for being with us. Right. I know I pressed hard, but that's what people are talking about.
Well, if
to
you wanted
day.
To talk yeah. about real topics that Americans are concerned about, Kristi Noem, then it's a wonder why you didn't put that in your book instead of this story or the fake story about Kim Jong-un. You know, if you wanted to talk, if you wanted to be asked questions about real issues that Americans are concerned about, I mean, this is your second autobiography in 2 years. And you keep writing books about yourself instead of talking about issues that are apparently affecting voters. So you can't be surprised when you go on your promotional book tour to get people to talk about your book so you can promote it and sell it, that they're going to ask you questions about the stuff that you not only put in your book, but then you also read out loud using your own person for the audiobook, or ask you about and or ask you about the excerpts that you authorized for promotional pre-release. That's what all of these questions are about. So you don't get to get pissed off and say, well, this is ridiculous. Well, then it's ridiculous that you wrote about it in your book. If you wanted to talk about issues that voters cared about, maybe you would have put that in your book. Maybe you would have fought to include those issues in your book as hard as you fought to include in a story about flexing on a puppy in your book. Because she tried, according to her own staff, put that in her previous autobiography that came out in 2022. And they thought it was in bad taste because at least she had good gatekeepers at the time. And they said, no, we're not going to include it because it's ridiculous. Well, she got it in this one. And then she fabricated some story about Kim Jong-un. And then she's trying to triangulate and act like it's her responsibility, but yet not really her responsibility. And it should have been omitted. And she's not going to talk about discussions with world leaders that she writes about in her book because that's private, except when she writes about it in her book or reads it for her audiobook version or authorizes it for promotional pre-release. Pick your story. This is Joe Biden level of self-ownership here. It's so bad. Pick a story. But you don't get to be pissed off because people are asking you questions about it. And you don't get to say that you're being attacked when you literally offer it up in a book. And again, your second autobiography in 2 years. You have not lived such a life that you need to come out with installment number two in 2 years. Again, I think Mark Twain only got one. My gosh. I think this is just, it's embarrassing. And no, I don't like her as a politician because I don't like politicians that shoot themselves in their feet. I don't like politicians that set up the American voter because they don't have enough self-discipline to not make unforced errors. Nothing enrages me more about a politician than unforced errors. I cannot stand it. It is a hallmark of incompetency. It is an indication of a complete absence of political acumen. It is a mark of low intelligence. It's basically everything that you would expect a dumbass to do. Unforced errors with politicians. There's no reason. You have a whole team of people around you. And the fact that she keeps doing these interviews, this was just from a little bit ago. Oh my gosh. She did two yesterday. I get it that she's on a book tour, but this is bad. It's not selling books. People are making fun of her. All her book sales too, by the way, really, those are your pre-orders in the week leading up to your first week release. And then the first week that your book is technically out is just padding for it. But not people aren't buying books anymore. And really, you got to be like a James Patterson anymore to even sell books and get on the New York Times bestseller list, which, by the way, is so ridiculously designed to cheat conservatives. I should tell you my story. It's insane. That's for another time. But she's not doing herself any favors. And I know that she probably has promotional obligations to fulfill with Hachette, because I think it came out on the Center Street imprint, which is the more, I guess, more conservative a line. Hands Off My Gun came out on Hachette's Center Street. But at this point, she's not handling these interviews well for a problem that she created herself. And she just doesn't look competent. A lot of people made fun of Sarah Palin because they thought Sarah Palin was dumb and inexperienced, et cetera, et cetera. You can say what you want about Palin. And I've got, you know, issues, but she never did anything like this. This is ridiculous. I mean, she had ambition, but she was always smart about it, I thought. This is just when you're a Hillary Clinton level ambition, but a complete absence of political acumen. And those are two very dangerous things. And I'm going to tell you, we got a nominee right now who is already dealing with some unforced errors. Granted, it's a witch hunt and there's all this other stuff. I'm not even getting into it. But you cannot have baggage like that on with Trump as a ticket. And furthermore, she's coming from a state that only brings 3 electoral votes. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I don't see her even getting really a cabinet position after this. She's like, I don't know. I'm trying to foregoing the obvious appearance difference from her now as opposed to 10 years ago. It just looks too try hard. And if she, again, she's mad at everyone else for asking these questions. If you, again, wanted to focus on the issues, you would have written a book on the issues, but you wrote a book on yourself. Again, it's ridiculous. So we have more here. I want to switch it up because I have so much. There's so much audio. It's so bad. Can we, where's this John Kirby? It is the John Kirby audio where he's saying that war doesn't change ideology. I'd sent that over this morning and I tweeted about it because I was like, wow, that's pretty asinine. He was asked if the United States supports Israel's intention to eliminate Hamas. And he responded, you're not going to eliminate any ideology through military operations. Well, maybe is there audio of this? Maybe there's not audio of this. But here's the, so he had said, you're not going to, just listen to the sentence, you're not going to eliminate an ideology through military operations. Kane, how did World War II end?
You're right. It ended with military operations. That's weird.
How did we deal with Japan?
Ooh, that was a big one. That was a military operation too. Mm-hmm. And that ended right after that. That's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird how that happens. I will say that this is the closest that a Democrat has ever gotten to acknowledging that this is a religious war, though. Right? That's the closest. Now, the administration halted an ammunition shipment to Israel. And it was a new report out that came out this morning. He decided to halt an ammunition shipment to Israel after the operations in Rafah. And there were two types of precision air bombs in this order. And Politico has the story. They said that they were shipments of two types of Boeing-made precision bombs, and they were withheld to send a political message to Israel. Hey, Kane, didn't Trump get in trouble because they said he was withholding aid to Ukraine?
Yes. Yes.
They tried to make it like it was a quid pro quo thing when it really wasn't, but yeah, right. I do remember that.
Right. So this is kind of interesting. Kirby was asked about this. Audio soundbite, let's see, 4 or 5. Did 5 come first? Let's do 5. Let's do 5.
Did the United States put a pause on shipment to Israel? Is that reporting correct?
I'm not going to confirm that report.
Okay, you're not going to confirm it. Okay, so then let's do 4. Why did they halt the shipment then? If you can't confirm it, why did they halt it? Listen.
And one more on a different topic. Why did the U.S. halt an ammunition shipment to Israel last week?
Yeah, look, I've seen the press reporting on this. All I can tell you is that
Jackie's question. Our support for Israel's security remains ironclad, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of one shipment over another.
It's our NBC's reporting that it included 2,000 POM bombs that may have been used in Rafah. Did concerns over Rafah and what the Israelis could use this ammunition for, did that play any role in halting that shipment?
I don't have a better answer for you other than the one I just gave you.
They're trying to send a message about Rafah. That's the goal. They think that, and this, I think this is the first time, I don't know, I can't recall them ever halting any kind of shipment like this to Israel before. I don't know what the justification would be. I know it definitely makes Hamas happy. It makes the Ilhan Omar wing, the Rashida Tlaib wing of the party, super happy. I mean, we're delaying a potential weapons sale, so they're paying for it. It's not like we're just giving them stuff. We just decided we don't want to sell it because, you know, you guys might use it on Hamas. So we're actively working for Hamas's interest now, because that's the way this is viewed. I'm not quite sure. I don't understand why it would be viewed any other way. Now, KJP, Audio Soundbite 3, she was asked as to whether or not there's any information she can give on these reports that the Biden administration is wanting to bring in quote-unquote refugees from Gaza. Listen to this.
On these reported plans for the U.S. to bring over Palestinian refugees potentially, is there anything you can tell us about where we are in the works with that? And what I know it would have to depend on coordination with Egypt, which so far has been resistant to cooperate on this. What can you tell us about those plans?
I don't have anything further to announce. I know I was asked this question a couple times last week, just don't have anything else to share.
Well, you were asked that last week. You knew it was probably going to be something you were going to be asked about this week. So, okay. All right. No. Sure. All right.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. Kane and I are really trying to figure this one out. So, the headline is this. A quadriplegic YouTube star... First off, YouTube star.
Makes me laugh.
This dude who's on YouTube, who's a quadriplegic, went to court and was charged somehow with striking a Miami cop with his wheelchair. And even the judge is like, I've never seen a case like this. 32-year-old Bryant Amasa is facing two counts of battery on a police officer. Despite being unable to utilize his limbs, Amasa is accused of hitting the officer. The guy on YouTube, I'm not saying YouTube star, Amasa denies the allegations against him. The quadriplegic YouTuber was charged with striking a Miami cop with his wheelchair in a bizarre incident, the likes of which the judge has said he has never before seen. Bryant Amasa, known as recording artist El Valiente, is facing two counts of battery on a law enforcement officer. But he apparently is accused of using his motorized wheelchair and allegedly spitting on the officer. Well, we did wonder how this was going to... I cannot with the screen grabs of his videos. The YouTuber boasts a substantial following. He's amassed nearly 100,000 followers and somehow shares music videos featuring himself singing surrounded by dancing women in bikinis who were clearly being paid. When asked if he spit on the cop, Amasa told Local 10, I absolutely did not. He said she bumped my wheelchair because I was standing in the driveway and the driveway is thin. And he said, so I suffer from acid reflux and I normally spit and I spat in a totally different direction. Wow. I don't know, man. Kane, you want to?
I don't. I have absolutely no desire to comment on this particular story. Thank you, though. Appreciate the offer. But no.
Oh, my gosh. I just can't even with the screen grabs. There's no body cam footage of the incident. So it's like he said, she said, but still.
But how do you get two counts? You're quadriplegic and you get two counts of battery.
Amasa's attorney told the judge, obviously, my client is not a flight risk. But wait, there's more. A Florida man was arrested for carving his name into a deputy's patrol car. I just wanted to go back to prison, said the Florida man. Enderlin Leonce, 33, was arrested on April 29th, booked in a Broward County jail on criminal mischief. Now, according to Margate Police Department's arrest affidavit, a witness reported seeing Leonce vandalizing the patrol car before taking off. They noticed that the suspect had used a metal tool to etch, quote, "The name is Enderlin Leonce," end quote, on the driver's side. What? On the driver's side hood of the patrol vehicle. Wait. Yes.
What was that name?
Enderlin Leonce.
Probably took a while to carve that into the car.
And the officer, well, wait, there's more. The officer met with Leonce at his home, and when he asked if he did it, Leonce allegedly said, quote, "I did it. I committed a crime, and I should be going to jail," end quote.
Thou doth protest.
So he was first taken up to the hospital because they're like, "You're crazy," and then they took him to jail. So there's $1,000 damage to the patrol car. So they got, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. We've got a shirtless Florida man with Wendy's beef caught on camera threatening to rob a Wendy's. A man accused of trying to set his girlfriend on fire. We also have a Florida man who plants tracking devices on his roommate's van. Oh, yes, there's tons. We have a naked woman, naked Florida woman who broke into her neighbor's house. And, yeah, we got somebody who took a bite out of a deputy's head. That's all coming up tomorrow.
Mercury
because
in retrograde?
No, Mercury's out of retrograde. This is just Florida.
Is it a full moon or something?
No, it's just Florida. Okay. Florida. It's Australia of America. Okay. That's what it is. That's what's happening here. So, oh, and then we got this one real quick. A Florida man crawled through floorboards during a getaway. Wanted Florida man, 19-year-old Gage Dennis, your name is backwards, faces charges of attempted first-degree murder and burglary. He's got a nice tat above his eyebrow, and he tried hiding under a house. But guess what? That didn't work. The police found him. We have a whole other hour on the way. Jim Jordan will be joining us. Stick with us.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things. And I want the world open up to all of them, because when you have their diverse voices innovating solutions through technology, then you're really addressing society's broader challenges.
That's still, this is still one of the nuttiest sound bites that I have heard in some time. And that's New York Governor Kathy Hochul, who's, I mean, you heard exactly what she said there. She's saying that young black kids in the Bronx don't know what a computer is. That seems like racist as all get out, what she said there. Intentionally or not, whether she intentionally meant to cause offense, that's insane. I'm like without. Wow. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour, we've got Congressman Jim Jordan who's going to be joining. He's on the floor right now voting. He's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour now. We're going to have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. But this right here, the reason I bring this up is because there's no accountability when Democrats show you who they are. There's like little to no accountability. And this, I mean, she's the governor of New York. I was reading this story about this fraternity at Ole Miss. And this fraternity at Ole Miss, I think you saw like some of the video that was out there. I know that there were a lot of the photos and that were out there. I'm pulling this up. Protests that were taking place on the quad at Ole Miss. They had the pro-Hamas protesters out there, and they were really, after you had the frat boys come out at UNC, you had the frat boys come out protecting the flag, and then you had fraternities coming out at all these different universities, and now you got to come up with a way, you got to make somebody the avatar to try to take down all the fraternities. So there was like one frat member who was in a massive group of other fraternity members, and there were these pro-Hamas protesters that were separated by law enforcement from the anti-Hamas protesters. And you've heard some of the heinous stuff that some of the pro-Hamas protesters have been not just doing, but saying to everybody. I mean, I've watched white pro-Hamas protesters call black cops Uncle Toms at these riots and scream in their faces and racially abuse them and all this other stuff. And that's okay with the left. So they get this one lady who apparently was already like racially slurring the frat boys from what people who were on the ground were saying. And so you got everybody feeding tensions, right? You got her doing this. You got the fraternity that's screaming at her and she's pushing buttons. And there was one fraternity member out of a whole mob of them there who was caught making, according to the report, making monkey noises to her. And because she's a black woman. And now they're saying that the college has to expel him. No, they don't. The fraternity, and a lot of us were like, well, the fraternity will take care of it if they, you know, if they feel if the accusations are true and they feel that he embarrassed or caused, you know, injury to the fraternity. And they did. They expelled him. The fraternity kicked him out. He was expelled from the college fraternity Friday. And they said that, you know, that particular, like any kind of racist abuse, they said, compromises the values of Phi Delta Theta. So that Phi Delta Theta has already done more than any of these other college organizations to these racist anti-Semites that are all over these college campuses screaming at black cops and also screaming anti-Semitic abuse at Jewish students. And there's tons of video that exists out there at more universities than I can count with both of my hands. So it is not an exception. It is the rule of these protesters. Out of all of these frats all across the all across the United States at all these college campuses, they got one dude who made monkey noises at this lady after, and apparently they were trading racial abuse back and forth to each other. I don't know. That's what all I saw was a screen grab of the cool dude in the Stars and Stripes overalls, and it was funny. So the 21-year-old student, and he's a finance major, I'm not sharing his name. He's a 21-year-old student, and he was kicked out of his fraternity. Now, is what Kathy Hochul just said as bad as what he did? She went out in front of people and said black kids were too stupid to know what a computer is. Now, consider the difference here. This is a 21-year-old frat member who is at an anti-Hamas event. So there's a little bit of a different environment. This is a governor who's over twice his age, who's talking to members of the press and saying this stuff. And she gets to make policy and shepherd policy through. Do you think that there's going to be any accountability for her? This 21-year-old was kicked out of his frat. The governor wasn't even asked to apologize. Furthermore, none of these groups at all of these college campuses, none of them have been asked to apologize because they sanction this behavior. They sanction the anti-Semitism. They sanctioned the racial abuse towards Hispanic and black police officers. I mean, some of the stuff that these protesters have screamed at cops who are not white is heinous. And these cops, God love them. I watched one Hispanic cop be slurred six ways to Sunday. I watched another black police officer be ridiculed and called racial epithets and all this stuff by white progressive protesters, pro-Hamas protesters. Why isn't the media gone and searched out the identity of these racists that have been screaming at these cops? Or what about the racist, like the white protesters, what was it, Columbia or New York City College, that they surrounded a young male Jewish student who had his book bag and was literally trying to get to class. He ended up missing his class because they formed a circle around him. And then they started shouting slurs at him on video. I can't even play this stuff that I'm playing on air for you or I'm talking about. I can't even play on air. What about where didn't we, do we have, I don't even know if I can play this. the audio of these, what is it? The Urban Infantata, the Urban, what is it, the store? Forever 21 Infantata. These chicks that were screaming at cops at the Met Gala. Did you guys see this? So they tried to disrupt the Met Gala. And there were these chicks that were screaming at the cops. I don't even think I can play it. I don't think we can play it. They were calling them piggy, piggy, piggy. No, but man, the media went and found this 21-year-old. Got him kicked out of his friend. They want him kicked out of college. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. He's already been held more to a greater level of accountability than any of these raging anti-Semites, all these terrorist-loving anti-Semites, all at these college campuses. So hell no, he doesn't have to leave his university. But oh man, they want to make him the avatar for it. They want to make him the avatar. But the frat already took care of it. Frat police their own. They already done took care of it. See, out of all those frats all across, you had one student. Where I have so many videos, I could, for the rest of the week, Kane, we could just play these videos all week long. No accountability for them on the left, though. Absolutely none. And that's the thing. And it's also organized. I told you they were at the Met Gala. Do you know, the Met Gala is the Metropolitan, it's the Museum of Art in New York. Anna Wintour is the editor of Vogue, and she does it. And I think that their themes are so damn stupid. It's like an overhyped toddler's birthday party, right? Where it's like a party more for the people throwing the party than it is for the guests. It's weird. But they all have their themes and they all arrive in their costumes. And it's the rich people's museum party. Well, they had the pro-Hamas protesters in New York last night. And they broke through the barricades and they started storming their way to the Met Gala. Oh my gosh, the cops showed up. They were not going to allow that to happen. They did not allow those terrorist anti-Semites to get anywhere near the Met Gala. See, it's okay if they disrupt college campus life and they shut down college campuses and they cancel college classes and they cancel commencement ceremonies and they make students feel unsafe. That's okay. But the second you mess with the beautiful people, it's the Hunger Games. It's not allowed. It is disallowed. You are not allowed to do that. They acted and shut them down. They didn't get anywhere close. So see, they can act when they want to. Yeah. Orders can be given and they can be enforced and people can be stopped and removed when they want to do it. But you're not going to have these people bother the rich people's museum party. You're not going to have that. So they acted and they immediately took care of that. It was weird because we started hearing about it at the start of the night and then there was nothing. Then it went away because they were stopped. They stood in the street and they yelled, but that was as close as they got. Nothing else after that. See, shutting down college campuses, that's okay. Don't you dare mess with the rich people's museum party, though. Don't you dare step to Vogue. You know how many thousands of dollars are walking that green carpet? I can't even remember what the theme was. It was something like garden, whatever, beautiful people. Literally, that's what it was. Something to that effect. And then people come and they the fashion is always trying to push the envelope. And, you know, I don't know. I like art and I like looking at dresses and people dressing up like old Hollywood style because I like that whole aesthetic. But what I don't like are half naked people that show up at events with wet hair and they call it edgy couture. No, you literally look like you just got out of the shower and you put a towel on. That looks like trashy. There's a broad who showed up in a wet t-shirt. Not even joking you. She showed up in a wet t-shirt. She left her hotel in a towel and then she showed up to the carpet in a wet t-shirt. Like, you don't even respect it. I think that those protesters, you know, rolling around on the carpet and screaming abuses probably would have done more to respect the green carpet and the event than half of these people that showed up dressed like trash. It's got to be real. But no, they weren't going to allow them to get near it. It's the rich people's museum party. You college poors have to just suck it. That's it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Planters Nuts is recalled across the country over a bunch of them, over potentially fatal contamination. The honey roasted peanuts and the deluxe lightly salted mixed nuts. have been recalled because they could be contaminated and cause fatal infections. It's Minnesota-based Hormel Foods, they said. The at-risk products were distributed to Publix warehouses in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and North Carolina, as well as Dollar Tree warehouses in South Carolina and Georgia. Now, they said that they could be contaminated with Listeria. Oh, my gosh. How does that even happen? Anyway, I don't even know how that happens, but it happened. Let's see. This, what? I don't, this is an actual headline. How bird flu could threaten cow cuddling, which is apparently a thing. I mean, I know, like, people who have cattle, like, I have family of cattle, and they, you know, they're nice to them, but they don't, like, seek them out to cuddle them. But apparently that's a thing, and now they're saying stop it because of the bird flu. Because now the outbreak is more widespread across 26,000 licensed dairy farms.
They're already trying to separate you from your livestock.
I know. Maybe if you don't cuddle the cows anymore, then... And then separate them from cuddling them and eating beef and drinking milk. There you go. Ancient people lived longer than you think. It turns out the infant mortality rate in this interesting piece played a part in the average age of death. So it's kind of misleading. But because I didn't you always think that, like, back in the days of yore, like, people, I mean, like, unless it's biblical, like, or some ancient Greeks or Romans, you didn't live very long. But apparently... No, they actually had, like, long natural lifespans, according to the testing on the bones that have been recovered by archaeologists. So, no, if you weren't ancient when you were 30, they apparently, like, it yanked down the infant mortality rate, greatly reduced the average age, the lifespan, because of how it was factored in. That seems to be, like, something that is fairly an obvious error, right? That makes sense. I'm like, well, why did people... Because you just attribute it to, like, healthcare or something else, and that's not necessarily the case. It's very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Oh, no. This is so hysterical. So, DuPage County Forest Preserve. They reenacted the imminent cicada brood emergence, replete with costumes, because cicadas are now emerging across Illinois. And the DuPage County Forest Preserve has been teaching people about them. So a woman is dressed as, like, a cicada, and she sheds her jacket after she climbs up a tree. I mean, it is entertaining. They're trying, right? Stick with us. Congressman Jim Jordan scheduled to join next.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to take you back to this report on whether shipments were paused.
Okay.
Are the reports wrong?
I'm not going to confirm the press reporting yet. What I've said is our security commitments to Israel are ironclad. The president pushed very hard to get that supplemental funding so that we can continue to help Israel with its security needs. And
you can appreciate the ambiguity makes it sound like it's true.
I can't speak for what you appreciate in my answer. All I can do is tell you that my answer is not.
Yeah. Well, Jim Kirby's answer there is not. John Kirby's answer there is not exactly clear cut. Mm-hmm. Right. He's being asked a question about this ammunition purchase, the sale of ammunition that the administration put a hold on. This is U.S. made ammunition going to Israel. We were talking about this as soon as this story broke with Axios. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, joining me on this issue, because he has also asked for some clarity and answers on this. It's Congressman Jim Jordan from the great state of Ohio. He's fresh in, hot off the floor. He's been running around D.C. serving his constituents and America. Congressman, good to see you. That was a very unclear answer that Kirby just gave.
Sure
there
was.
What can you tell us about this? Because I don't ever remember a hold like this being placed on an ammunition sale to an ally in the Middle East like this, ever.
I don't remember this either, particularly our dearest and closest friend, the state of Israel. But frankly, it's kind of consistent with what we've been hearing from the White House. Go back to the State of the Union a few weeks ago when Joe Biden stood there in the House chamber and said, we're going to put a temporary pier, a port in Gaza to give supplies to Gaza. And I was sitting beside a colleague of mine, actually a former West Point graduate, and I said, isn't it kind of basic warfare? If you want one side to win, you don't give supplies to the other side? I mean, what are we doing here? Israel's our best friend. Let's help them win. And you help them win by not supplying their enemy and by sending the ammunition that they're supposed to receive from the United States. So I don't get what Mr. Kirby was saying there, and I certainly don't get what Joe Biden's doing.
Yeah, and that on the heels of the other story that came out discussing this compromise that I guess Hamas negotiated with itself with the help of Qatar and in Egypt, and they came out and said that they agreed to it. Well, the details that are coming out about this and apparently the involvement of the Biden administration, he apparently sent a CIA, one of the CIA officials over to help take part in these negotiations. I don't know if it was in Doha or where, but 33 hostages, dead or alive. So you could just hand over 33 dead hostages, and I guess that they would get full credit for that. And then there was also the guarantee that there would be no more hostilities on the side of Israel, but nothing for Hamas. I mean, and Hamas would still retain control of Gaza. I could completely understand, Congressman, why Israel rejected that.
Yeah, here's an idea, Dana. Why don't we just help Israel win? They were attacked in October. It was a terrorist organization who did the terrible things to Jewish citizens, to Jewish people in Israeli city, to our best friend. Why don't we just let them win and help them win, for goodness sake? They're the good guy. We know who the bad guy is. I want the good guys to win. But unfortunately, you're getting all kinds of mixed signals from the Biden administration. And I think it's driven by the fact that the hard left now controls their party, and they're concerned about presidential politics instead of helping our dearest and closest ally, the state of Israel, prevail against terrorism.
Do you feel, Congressman, that the administration has forgotten about the American hostages that Hamas has?
I don't know. It's just, I was asked a few weeks ago about the Biden administration. Some reporter asked me, is there anything good you can say about the Biden administration? And I actually gave it a few seconds. I thought about it and I said, no, there isn't, because I don't know what they've done right. You can go through all the issues, and they certainly haven't handled foreign policy in a smart way, in my judgment, in a positive way, in a way that's been good for our allies and, frankly, good for the United States. So I just don't know. I just don't know what they're up to.
It seems maybe that they're, which is interesting because Biden was always promised to be this foreign policy, this respected statesman. You know, that's why he was put on the Obama ticket. Maybe it's because they're spending so much time looking at domestic issues like censoring speech. I know that you've demanded answers from Amazon, talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, because it seems, and this is so wild to me, that the Biden administration was pressuring Amazon to essentially suppress sales of any kind of publication that were critical of it. This is like 1984 and 2024.
Yeah, a virtual book burning, virtual book banning, do not promote certain books that disagreed with the administration position. And this was on the heels of Biden administration pressuring Twitter to take down certain posts, the Biden administration pressuring Facebook to take down certain content, the Biden administration pressuring YouTube to take down certain videos. So it's on the tail of all that. They said, oh, not to be outdone, we actually want them to do not promote certain books. Most of the books they want to not promoted on Amazon were the ones that questioned their approach to dealing with COVID. Because, you know, Dana, they were right about everything, right? You know, think about it. They told us it wasn't gain of function research in the lab in China. They said it wasn't our money used as a spin in the lab in China. Both those are wrong. They said it didn't come from a lab. I always joke, no. It was a bat to a pangolin to a hippopotamus, and then we all get COVID. They said masks work. They said the vaccinated couldn't get it. The vaccinated couldn't transmit it. There are seven lies right there. So, but they were telling Amazon, take down, don't promote certain books, and all these other social media platforms to take down content. It's frightening what they were up to, particularly when it's a violation of the First Amendment to censor false speech. But these guys were wrong. They were actually trying to censor things that were true, which I think just sort of adds insult to injury.
That's a very good point. Talking with Congressman Jim Jordan, I mean, this wasn't even anything that was libelous or defamatory. I mean, it was stuff that was absolutely accurate about their non entirely scientific approach to the virus and the lockdowns and what worked and what didn't work. So does that mean at some point, and I mean, I realize I'm getting like real far ahead in the timeline of how this stuff plays out, but I would imagine that if people can prove that they were, you know, damaged, book sales were damaged by this, that seems like that's a pretty big class action suit against the administration and Amazon.
Yeah, good question. Good. I mean, who knows? We'll try to find out. I'm sure the people who wrote some of those books and found out that they were on the do not promote list or they were suppressed somewhat, they want to check all that out. The other question I have is, what are they doing now in the run up? We're now less than 6 months before the most important election we have, election of who's going to be our commander in chief. And what are they doing now? What kind of pressure there are they trying to exert on social media companies and or Amazon or anyone else to censor speech that they disagree with? We're trying to find that answer out as well.
Yeah, that's the key point there, because it seems like we always find out what they're up to after the election, after votes are cast, after things happen. And then we see all of the moves that they have been making. It all comes to light. And speaking of that, you have opened up an inquiry, talking with Congressman Jim Jordan. You've opened up an inquiry into the DEI hiring standards of the FBI after whistleblowers have been sounding the alarm on recruitment practices. I did not realize that as a country, we were so safe and secure that we could now start focusing with these enforcement agencies, Congressman, on DEI practices.
Let's just hire the best people. Let's just hire the people who can do the job. Let's make sure the FBI stays what it's always has been, the you know, that premier law enforcement body, because I still think the vast majority of the rank and file agents are good people. At the top now, that's a different story. I think there are folks here in Washington who are focused on politics and a double standard and going after their political opponents. That's where the problems are really at. So let's make it that way across the. Let's hire the best people. But the Biden administration has come in and said we want this DEI across the government and every single agency, including the FBI. And frankly, we've heard about it from my colleagues on the Armed Services Committee that the same thing is happening to the military. That respected institution that Americans, you know, have so much respect for our men and women in uniform. Let's don't do it there either. Let's just have the best people. Let's get the folks who are going to do the job the way that they should.
Yeah, exactly. The way that they need to do it. And that's I think you made a really that's a key point. And that it's, I agree with you, it's not all of the FBI, the rank and file, because that's where the whistleblowers are coming from, rank and file
yes,
FBI.
They're good guys. Yes, they're good guys. They come forward and tell, we had them come forward before we took control back in January of last year. And they've come, several whistleblowers come talk to us about all kinds of issues. And God bless them for doing so. So we want those good agents coming in and doing the right thing.
And that's brave of them to do it, because aren't they being pretty severely penalized as a result of this?
Yeah. There's been retaliation, not only there, but we actually think the two whistleblowers from the IRS, they're being retaliated against for sure by the Internal Revenue. This Mr. Shapley, Mr. Ziegler, who came forward and gave us all this information on how the Hunter Biden investigation was being run in such a crazy way, not consistent with how they normally do investigations, and they've been retaliated against, which is against the law. So we're looking into that issue as well.
What consequences for these people that are breaking the law by trying to silence whistleblowers through this intimidation and these threats of, you know, the punitive consequence? What can be done about this?
Well, I mean, the Justice Department is supposed to prosecute. If you retaliate, supposed to prosecute people who do that, you know, that kind of behavior, that kind of retaliation against people who followed the law and came forward and gave us information that was important for Congress to have and for the country to have. But we'll see if Merrick Garland's Justice Department does that. I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, not holding your breath. Well, I wouldn't either, because, right, I mean, we can't even apparently hold people like Mayorkas accountable either. I want to ask you a quick question about House leadership, because I know you're focused on the big fish out there. I feel like a lot of, you know, I hear from people all across the country. We're in hundreds of different affiliates, and then we have our online streaming as well. And it does, people feel like the fight over House leadership is a distraction. Do you kind of share that sentiment with the folks across the country?
Yeah, we're less than 6 months before, you know, the presidential election. We need President Trump back in the White House now more than ever. I think he's the best president, certainly in my lifetime. We need him back in there. I mean, Joe Biden's been in there. We got Hamas attacking Israel. We got Russia moving into Ukraine. You didn't have that with President Trump. So not to mention all the stuff on domestic policy. So we need him back in the White House. Let's stay focused on that. Winning the White House, keeping the House, taking back the United States Senate. Let's stay focused on that. That's what we should be doing, not changing, not having a third speaker
With barely a one-seat majority. My fear is that, you could see a Speaker Jeffries. I just feel like Murphy's Law will come into play here, and that kind of scares me.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Do not want that. Congressman Jim Jordan, we always appreciate our time with you. Thank you so much for working so hard on behalf of Americans. Good to talk with
you. Thanks for what you do.
Of course, you too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour. Yeah, we're like going into the conclusion of the third hour. We got Dane's stupidity already on the way.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Any people of conscience in the Princeton community, students, faculty, alumni, to participate with the striking students in a solidarity fast. In just the last few hours, we have had commitments from at least six people from Princeton Theological Seminary to participate in this solidarity fast, with more coming in by the hour. At the seminary, we've also been calling our school to disclose and divest for the last several years, and want to join together with the students from the university in their hunger strike. Almost every faith tradition in the world engages in the spiritual practice of fasting. The three major Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, are no exception.
I call that a diet. Why is it, can I just be real? Why is it the fat chicks that are talking about fasting? Seriously. It's like I get some Martha dump truck chicks up here who are like, oh, we're going to go on a hunger strike. That's, bitch, that's a diet. Like, what are you talking about? What if this fasting, it's like, we're going to starve for Gaza. So you're going to appropriate the struggle of people being starved in Gaza so you can carry out your revolutionary chic cosplay? Spare us.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's exactly what it is. I'm also going to pretend to be oppressed. Oh my gosh. What's that? What's that? No, I'm not going to say it. This will be for off air. I just had a thought. Like, I'll make everybody mad if I say this, but for real, it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's, look, the administration thinks it's going to win the election by barreling through a herd of hefty chicks with like blue hair and nose rings. And they think they're just going to ride that tsunami to electoral victory in November. I hate to break it to you, boss, but it ain't happening. Not going to happen.
And I'm more for the long game. Like, I'm looking at her and I'm like, man, in like 2 weeks of not eating, I wonder what she's going to look like. So I won't even, like you said yesterday, hunger strikes only work when people care.
Yeah, we don't care.
About it. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to do something that hurts me only if I care. Which I don't. Just put it, isn't it though? Aren't they appropriating?
Yes.
You're appropriating someone else's struggle.
Yes.
For your play, it's poverty revolutionary chic. That's what you're doing. You're LARPing as an oppressed person. Shut up.
Are they sending the meals they're not having to people? Like, that would make sense if they were like fasting and then sending those meals.
They're saving those meals.
That
you know
they're
they
not eating and sending them to people who need them. Are they doing that at least?
I just, you know what I have in mind is I have Chris Farley's character when he played that chick who worked at the mall. And he's like, I'm hungry. I just. No, it is. I have to be absurd with this because these people are absurd. But for real, like that's, you know, they're appropriating the struggle. As she's, you know, probably in like her expensive clothes on a very like ridiculously expensive college campus on her Apple phone. Like, give me a break. Just stop. I can't even with you stupid people anymore. This is like cosplay to an extreme. At least, you know, all right. Today in stupidity.
If that wasn't enough stupidity, that's pretty high level stupid there. But our president outshines it just a little bit. Now, in this particular audio cut, is he suggesting cutting President Trump? Like, literally prison-style cutting?
Like a shanking?
President Trump. Listen to what Biden says here.
He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. He says there's a lot we can do in terms of cutting. I got one really serious idea how to cut. A candidate. Anyway.
What?
What?
What? What the heck did he just say?
It got real serious there. I mean, I think that actually may have been dark branded.
Yes.
I got run real serious. I caught a kid.
It's like that baby knew what was coming.
That baby knew.
That baby was like, no, don't say
it. You know how animals get weird before storms? That baby got
that
weird
baby
before
knew.
He got all like tyrant-like.
That baby recognizes stupid.
So he just threatened to cut Trump, right? I don't even think Biden can hold a knife. I don't even think he has the hand strength. Have you seen him walk? He's got like C-3PO arms. All right. We'll be back tomorrow together. Make sure you find me on Substack, Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night.